Good Tuesday morning. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. Today we're joined by John Ford. He is a Riley County Commissioner in District 1. Joining us on the phone. Good morning, Commissioner Ford.
Good morning. Pleasure to be here as usual.
Absolutely. Glad to have you on. Did you have a good holiday weekend?
I did. It was kind of almost a little uncomfortably quiet and peaceful. I'm not used to it.
Yeah, these days that seems like that's not a common thing anymore.
No, it used to be okay, and part of this new normal.
And no doubt about it. I know that there's been some concerns. Obviously, every time we've had a holiday, it seems like this year there's concerns that we're going to see more rising in cases, and it's almost like the national news media doesn't want us to celebrate any holidays right now, but given the fact that we had Labor Day weekend, and I think there probably were some people who traveled out of town, we will likely see probably numbers continue to trend upward, I would imagine. Overall, it's been kind of an interesting roller coaster ride in the last couple of weeks, though, hasn't it?
It really has. It's kind of worked out as we kind of planned for a good majority of the summer. Fortunately, and they've gone up to that point, and they've kind of plateaued at that point. Of course, we'd all like to see them decline, but it's staying pretty large numbers with that 18 to 24 dynamic, so that student base that has kind of, over the last 4 to 5 weeks, have worked themselves back into town and into the equation. And, at least from all of our perspectives, including public entities and the health sectors, we hope that the hospitalizations stay low and the severity of those stay low as well.
I think we've almost gotten to a point here with the numbers and the pandemic that I don't know what more government can really do here as far as orders that they can be released. I know that we're up to like local health order 18, and I don't know if there will be a 19 issued at some point, but what's the discussion among commissioners as far as what more you guys can do?
Currently at the moment, 18 is one of the first ones that doesn't really have an end date on it. So the plan is to really keep that in place for now, see how the numbers, see how the metrics work, see what contract tracing tells us, and then kind of work off of that. The goal is not to do anything more with that and try to really focus on where the issue actually is at this particular point in time. The university is prepared very, very well for this. Their health coordinators have planned very, very well for this, as well as our health department and entities within the city and the school districts. And, it feels like we've kind of reached that point where we kind of have to figure out ways to steer around it. It's here, not fake. It's not a hoax. It's not a bad. It is what it is. And got to work diligently to understand what those dynamics are and then just try to work around them.
We hear a lot about that percent positive rate here, and I think Julie Gibbs, the health officer this morning, said it's about 30% this past week, and the week before was around 34%. What do you take that number to, or how do you interpret that number in terms of how bad our cases are here in the county and whether we we'll have to shut anything down here in the near future.
Right. I think, that's a number that's kind of more incorporated in how we deal with K through 12 at this point in time. There's some other variables and dynamics. I'm sure Julie has gone through that and probably certain superintendents and people of the three school districts here in Riley County. Each one of them is just a little bit different at this particular point in time. From our perspective, it's community spread coming from a place of business, a handful of places of business, a specific business sector at this point in time. There is no indication that it has, but obviously if that's something that starts to occur, then that's something that's going to obviously change the scope, change our thinking.
We're speaking with Riley County Commissioner John Ford here on In Focus, and obviously COVID-19 has dominated the news here for the last 6 months, really, and we're starting to see things sort of get back to normal here and there. We've got obviously sports starting back up. It was great to see high school football playing last week under some new restrictions and such. K-State football is gonna try to get some fans in this week. How optimistic are you about that?
I'm actually pretty optimistic. I think K-State presented probably the most solid plan that you could possibly put together to do this. Obviously, for us, it means we had to change our health order in order to accomplish that. So we took that 2,000-person limit off. The reality there is really the only entity that's going to be able to probably work off that 2,000 right now is K-State. I don't think any of the local high schools or really anybody else is going to be equipped to do anything over that amount at this point in time. And at least as of Thursday afternoon, nobody had even filled out any kind of an application or permit to do anything past that. I just don't think it's going to be plausible moving forward. K-State's keeping roughly 75% of their football staff on for that 25% number. So, you know, those that think that it's a financial issue or fiscal thing right now, it's really not. The university isn't going to make any money this year by having anybody in the stands. It's just trying to get to some normalcy, and I think the student athletes like to have some people cheering for them and, you know, maybe possibly have a family member or two at one of the games moving forward. Now, watching the Navy-BYU game last night, there was nobody in the stands for Navy, and it's just been kind of a weird thing to watch sports this year, including, you know, baseball and everything else, and just kind of seeing hearing the noise, not actually knowing that it's there. They put some pretty good protocols in place, you know, mask wearing, social distancing, can only enter, can't leave and come back, no tailgating. I do think that's going to those two things, probably the masking, particularly at early games where it might be a little bit warmer, and the lack of tailgating will probably keep some of those numbers down. So I'll probably be surprised to see it get to 12,000. It could. But, you know, I'm thinking maybe it'll stay in that 8 to 10 range. I think the concern becomes, obviously, the mingling of students with the other crowds and where those individuals are coming from to even come to these games over the next 5 home games. The one good thing here, too, and it just kind of played out this way, but the first game Saturday gives us a 2-week gap. We have that first bye, then we're on the road to Oklahoma before we come back and play another home game. So it gives us an opportunity to kind of evaluate, reassess, make any changes, or if it's just, you know, becomes completely bad, then we can just say, no, we can't do this for the rest of the 4 games this season.
I see. Okay. So this kind of the test run then to see how things work here with limited capacity.
Correct.
Okay.
And keep in mind the other K-State fall athletics aren't going to meet that 2,000 threshold either. And I think if I saw right, soccer's already postponed its first game. I don't know if it's going to get rescheduled somewhere along the way. And, you know, obviously the health of the student-athletes will also to be played with or without attendance, with or without people in the stands.
Well, it's obviously a challenge economically for the city of Manhattan and Riley County, you know, altogether, because each fall, I'm sure that's probably the money-making time here for the whole region with all the people who come in town for games and such. But, you know, that's obviously going to suffer a great devastation here this fall. How do you recoup some of that, if at all, in the next few months?
Well, the interesting thing is, you know, we're starting to see sales tax numbers during this time, and they've been, you know, all things considered, pretty good. So, you know, what it probably tells us is there's a lot more people using online models, e-commerce, those sort of things. But, you know, a lot of the restaurants, the business that can do curbside delivery, drive-through, that sort of thing, has still fared pretty well. I think the people that are kind of, you know, locally, you know, in the Manhattan, immediate Riley County area, you know, will probably do some stuff at home. So, you know, there'll be maybe some watch parties, that sort of thing. So there'll be a chance to make up a little bit of that difference. I don't know what merchandise will look like. I think some people will probably get out and buy some stuff. Some people may venture out to a restaurant or a Power Cat sports bar or something like that and maybe watch the game. So there'll be a little bit to be made up. But, you know, when you're taking 12,000 times five, it's about 60,000, you know, total, give or take a little bit there. That's a guesstimate. But, you know, that would equal usually what one game would be. So, yeah, the impact's going to be big. We'll just have to be creative down the road and through those challenges as they appear.
No doubt, we want to keep businesses open here in the community as much as possible, keep that revenue coming in. And K-State, obviously the biggest business here in town. We've got a lot of outbreaks on campus with the different fraternities and sororities. What is your thoughts on how K-State has handled this in the first couple weeks?
Well, I do believe that the Greek system there is really no longer under K-State supervision completely. Now, don't get me wrong, the university is working with those entities and trying to develop a strategy to try to work through that. I think, you know, when you kind of consider this more of a private entity right now, some of the rules and regulations, including masking and that sort of thing, haven't seemed to really apply like they have, you know, in the classroom and in the dorms where we haven't really had a problem, at least as of yet. The health department and the Lafine and several other entities are working with all the fraternities and sororities to kind of develop a plan to get this under control and hopefully get it under control quickly.
All right. We got some free COVID testing coming up in the county this week, including down in your district, I believe on Thursday in the Ogden area.
Correct. Yeah. There's three different slotted times. I forget the times right off the top of my head. There's a slot, I think, from 7 to 9 in the morning, and maybe like 11 to 1 over the lunch hour, and then 5 to 7.
You got it.
That's down there at the community center. Did I get that right?
That's right, yep.
Okay. And then, of course, there's going to also be one up in the Leonardville area as well.
Yeah, Leonardville will be tomorrow from 5 to 7, and then Manhattan Town Center parking lot from 7 to 10 tomorrow, so... Lots of opportunities here.
Yeah. Well, hopefully the weather will hold up for that tomorrow, at least for the town center one. Those are tests that we have gotten as part of the first CARES Act funding. They are rapid testing, and we'll have the ability, hopefully, to continue to get some more of those along the way to assist in that. And props to Hy-Vee, too, for providing food at the first one and providing food for all these upcoming this week too.
Yeah, absolutely. Very cool. We have a caller with a question here, John, so we'll get to them next. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Yes, I was wanting to thank you for keeping Riley County off the front page of the newspapers. And this, for instance, this fire they had out in the county Saturday, who would imagine that we even had 24 volunteer firemen with the blessing that they showed up to fight the fire, you know, in that wind that was beating me with the car door on Saturday and Sunday over at the shopping center. You would think that that fire would have got away from them. If you read back in the diaries in the 1880s, they had a prairie fire come around Blue Rapids and come down through here. And that was before we have all these flammable cedar trees. The fire chief in California said the embers from a cedar tree can travel 3 miles in that wind. Thank goodness that you had those volunteer and support of the volunteer fire department in the county. Thank you for your efforts.
He makes a really, really good point there too. We struggle with getting volunteers and keeping their numbers up high on that. But the one thing that we do with our volunteers is train them very, very well. And this fire up north there, I heard it cost $30,000 worth of damage, but to me it sounds like it's going to be more than that when it's completely assessed. And we've had two other ones here at recent times up that way too. So maybe a little bit of this rain stuff over the next couple of days will keep some noise to keep that from happening. But we do train our people very, very well for situations just like this, and I appreciate the call.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for the call, Robert. And we'll take a break. We'll come back more with John Ford, Riley County Commissioner, on In Focus after this.